No, it was back when you keep this stuff.
Okay, let's start. Just quick recap. Last week we described a little bit what life in Babel was like. We showed that the really area of the concentration of the Jewish people was in what's called the Fertile Crescent between the Chidekel and the Pros, the Tigris and the Euphrates River, small little area going up until the Persian Gulf, the area of Iraq, southern Iraq, up until the Persian Gulf between the rivers Chidekel, Pras, Euphrates, and Tigris. Further south, all the way in the south of that area, is we actually see Nahar Kvar, which we saw on the map. Nahar Kvar is where Yecheskel Hanavi, Vani Yoshev on Nahar Kvar, and actually the Kevah of Yecheskel Hanavi is in that area in the south. But the main center, or the main city, that whole entire area was filled up with villages, all packed with Jewish people. It was like the Jewish, almost autonomous lands in Babel, in Babylonia proper. Now, that area in between, that little area in between, the main city of the Jewish city was, of course, the big city, was the city of Nahar Dor. Josephus already writes about the city of Nahar Dor, that it has multitudes and multitudes of people. That was the main city, and that's where seems to be the Resh Galusa. There was the Resh Galusa. The Resh Galusa had its power over there, had its seat of power. And what's a Resh Galusa? So the Gemara actually compares the two. The Gemara says, La Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda U'mechaykeik Mi Bein Raglov. A staff shall not be absent from the tribe of Yehuda U'mechaykeik, and a lawgiver Mi Bein Raglov. So the Gemara says, Mechaykeik Mi Bein Raglov, that's the Nesiyim in Eretz Yisrael. But the real Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda, the staff, the tough ones, that's the Resh Galusa in Babel. And according to the Zayin HaDeres, the Resh Galusa that existed in the time of the Goyanim, the time of the Amoraim, go all the way back until Zerubbabel, descendant of Yechoni HaMelech. In other words, straight to Malchus Yehuda, and they were quite powerful. We saw last week, and this week you're not going to see, but it's on the sheet, it's there out as well, that the Resh Galusa had tremendous power given to him by the rulers, by the Babylonians, by the Persians, whoever was in charge, gave them tremendous amount of power, and they were able to literally punish, they were able to have some form of capital punishment as well. And some Gemara says, that a little bit later on, but one of the Resh Galusas had one of his people, police, saw one of the people on the Shuk wearing dark clothing. He says, why are you wearing a dark minolim? And he says, because I'm Misabu Yushalayim. He says, you have no right to be Misabu Yushalayim, and I'm the Resh Galusa, and we're punishing you. And they basically gave him over the head, and they gave him Malchus. They beat him up. Because the Resh Galusa had tremendous power in Babel, maybe even greater than the power of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. It was officially sanctioned by the government. We also know, we're going to get more about the Resh Galusa when we get to it, but the Resh Galusa had to appoint, we saw this last week, had to appoint Dayanim, the Rabbanim, the Dayanim had to be appointed by the Resh Galusa. Now, in the beginning stages, especially now, the Resh Galusa were from the Gedolei HaHadar. In the time of Rebbe, the Gemara says, Huna, the first Huna was the Resh Galusa, Rav Huna, I don't know if that's the same Rav Huna from the Gemara, but was a different one, yeah, that's Namar. But this Huna was the Resh Galusa. Now afterwards, when Rebbe died, the next Resh Galusa in Babel was Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva coming across the Gemara all the time, and he's together with Shmuel and Rav and Shmuel. So obviously the Resh Galusa in that time was not just very powerful, he's also from the Gedolei HaDar. Which is not uncommon, of course, as we find in Eretz Yisrael, right? We know at that time, especially the Nesiim, all the Gedolei HaDor, they always were the Gedolei HaDor, the head of the Sanhedrin. The one thing which was missing, of course, in Babel was the Sanhedrin. They had no Sanhedrin. So you had the Resh Galusa, and you had the head of the Yeshiva, which was called the Resh Sidra, but there was no Sanhedrin. And if they didn't have the Sanhedrin, spiritually, they were subservient to the Rabbanim and the Tanoim in Eretz Yisrael. And that's relevant because we'll soon see how Rav and Shmuel go to Eretz Yisrael and come back. And perhaps there's a difference between the two. How Rav, especially, we see the tremendous focus on Rav, how he comes back from Eretz Yisrael. So that's important to remember. But clearly there was a thriving community in that area. Something else which you saw also is that the people in Babel considered themselves elitist. they considered themselves, they were the pure Yichus. They had pure Yichus. Ezra came and took all the riffraff out of Babel and made it Issa to Eretz Yisrael. It's all Issa to Babel, which means all the riffraff came along with Ezra. I'll take care of you when you come to Etzel. I'll be able to sort out who is what and what's who. And Babel will leave behind only the pure ones because there's nobody going to be behind over there. So therefore, they left Babel Kesoyles Nekio. But they always held themselves elitist, miyuchasim. Matter of fact, there were different areas of Babel. Within that, those river areas, and by the way, there are a lot of different canals. If you look on the map, there's a canal above Mardon, above Surah, and above all these places, different canals. It was a very fertile area. So in that area itself, that was where the Miyuchasim lived. That was real proper Babel. Then you had all the other areas, which was Mishan and Elam and Madai, all these places. Even Shushan, by the way, was not part of Babel. Shushan was part of Paras. Paras and Madai. That's more to the east and more to the south. More to the east, and Elam is even more to the south. Those areas were not as Miyuchasim. We saw last week that these areas around proper Babel, they consider themselves, oh, you go to the Gedolim Eretz Yisrael to take care of your problem, because we are over here in Babel, and we are Miyuchasim. So they consider themselves very, very elitist. Now, why am I saying this? In this background, we can understand the following Tshuvas HaGoyim, which is a story which is found in the Tshuvas of the Goyim. Remember, the Goyim lived in the same area. They lived in Babel. They lived 400-500 years later, but it's the same place. So it's, you know, these are stories that went around in the same countries, like you say, you know, Jews in Holland today know what took place 400 years ago in Holland, because it's the same Jews, it's the same area, it's the same shuls, the same everything. So if you're in a certain place for 400 years, great. So the stories go around, and obviously these are stories which were known in those times. So why am I saying the story? The story is about the father of Shmuel. Why am I saying that? Because remember, before, you know, in this time, after the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael, at the same time, in Nardah, you had the Gedolim of Babel, and one of the Gedolim of Babel was Shmuel's father, Avuhad de Shmuel. He was together with Rav Shela, the Gemara says, Rav Shela was the Reish Sidra, the head of the yeshiva in Nardah. That's where the center, that's where the most of the learning was, that was in Nardah. Now, Avuhad de Shmuel, why is he called Avuhad de Shmuel? Didn't he have a name? Why is he called Avuhad de Shmuel? Well, his name was Abba, but why is he called Abu Shmuel? Anybody knows why his name was Abu Shmuel? So the story goes like this, and in the context of the Yichus, we understand. Look at number one on the sheet. Shashaltem. Remember, Shmuel becomes the eminent Pesach in Nahardah, and together with Rav, they are the two pillars of the entire Babel. Entire Babel, the Gemara says, Nahardah and the entire area around Nahardah follow Shmuel. Whenever this machlek is Rav and Shmuel, we pass it like Rav in certain things, like Shmuel in certain things. Shmuel is equal to Rav in every sense, right? Because these are the two pillars of Babel. And by the way, these are the two pillars of Babel. And we soon see that the yeshivas of Nardah and Surah are the two main academies and the two main yeshivas for hundreds of years to come, founded by Rav and Shmuel, at least continued by Rav and Shmuel. So this is very fundamental to the entire learning and Yiddishkeit in Babel, Rav and Shmuel. So who is Shmuel? So the Gemara, the Shuvah Zagarin says, number one, Shashaltem, you might ask, Avuah the Shmuel, Lama le Nikra Bishmoy? Why was he called by name? Oh, well, you should know. Ki Avuah the Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, Halach Bischoiro. I think he was a silk dealer. And we're going to soon see he was quite a wealthy man. So he went for business, Lemokam Rochik, far away. The Yamim, Midyas Achas, a Midian, Midyas, Modis, from Madai, Mid, a Mid woman met him, Shahaisa Yadas, Belashan Ha'oifos. She was a very spooky, mystical, intelligent woman. She knew the language of the birds. And she demanded to have him. And on top of that, I will pay you if you just come to me. And she, you know, convinced him that she should come, he should come to her, and they should have a child together. And she'll give him thousands upon thousands of silver coins. Amalai lama. So he turned to him and said, why? Amalai. She said, Shemati ki halaylo toilet ben shloi hayu kamoya b'chokma. Because I heard that tonight you will give birth to a son, or you'll conceive a child, that there was no such child in wisdom ever. There's a mystical, you know, one of these Medes women, and he said mystical powers, and that's what she said. Ukshashamazeh, when he heard this, holach bikfitzo balaylo el beisoy, he went on some flying carpet, bikfitzo, speedily to his house. The yodas ishta, he would spend the night with his wife, his real wife, vinisabo, she got pregnant that night. Vyoshav ledauka bikfitzo, and he went back to his business trip, bikfitzo, on a magic carpet. Ukishabah dova lebeizdin, I think Tyson also quotes the story, right? Abu Shmuel al de shame, the Gemara says, meaning she had a flying carpet. Ukishabah dova lebeizdin, and when the story became known to Bezdin, heidu, they said, ki horal is nunimi, shere kam yom shloi bailo bekan, said this woman is pregnant, her husband, we know, is far away, on a business trip. What's going on? They brought it to Bezdin, and they gave him Malchus, had no proof, but they saw this. She had a child, and the boy, the child's name was Shmuel. Then the father comes, and he said, no, it was me. I'm the one who's with my wife, and therefore, and I came back, and therefore, it's me. Shmuel said, Aniyodati, I know, I remember, Kishahilku Esimi, when they gave Malchus to my mother, Vikuni Birtsu al Rashi, and they whacked her with a belt, and it hit my head because I was in her womb, Potsu al Rashi, Umoka Maratsua Nikar Bereshi. I felt the bangs that my mother got unwarranted. She got those Malchus, because I even felt it. And that's why they called him Avud Shmuel. So everybody should know, no, this is the father of Shmuel, and the story is true. Now, coming from the context that we know that in Bavel, they're makbid on the Yichus, when you have somebody like Shmuel, who was born, and the father was nowhere to be found, so obviously, the Gemara, right, the Gemara says, and this was the story that was known, was that Avud Shmuel says, no, she wasn't Havel is Nunim, but rather, it was through me, and that's why he was called Avud Shmuel, in order to bring home that point. So that's the background of Avud Shmuel and Shmuel himself. Now, Shmuel learned a lot by his father. He had a very, in learning, now Avud Shmuel is a Gal Adar. So Shmuel, we're going to see that he learned a lot by his father. He got a lot from his father. Look at number 2 and 2a. Davud Shmuel, Ashkechei. And by the way, Shmuel was a Yachsen. Shmuel's father had a big Yichus. He was a very prominent person. He wasn't Reish Galusa, but he taught his son, and his son learned by him, and he was a Gal Adar. And obviously Shmuel followed in his father's footsteps and learned a lot from his father. Look at number 2. Davud Shmuel, Ashkechei Lishmuel de Kabachi. Shmuel was a very young boy. I don't know, 2 years old, 3 years old he was. And his father finds him and he's crying. Amalei, he asks him, Umar Chulim, Amai Kabachis, why are you crying? So he says, the Machin Rabbi, because my Rebbe slapped me. So he tells him. Not a story from 50 years ago, 25 years ago when you were in Yeshiva. 2,000 years ago, 1,800 years ago. 1,800 years ago, Shmuel's crying, as a little boy. His father asks him, why are you crying? He said, the Machin Rabbi, because my Rebbe slapped me. So he said, Amai, why? Why did he slap you? He said, Omali, because he told me, Kosafis Libroi Veloy Mashis Yode, because you're feeding my son and you didn't wash your hands. In other words, Shmuel was learning by the Rebbe, he was a young kid, and being the youngest, presumably he had to feed the Rebbe's child, gave him some bread to eat. So he gave his Rebbe's child some bread to eat and he did not wash his hands. So his father asked him, Ma Milo Mashis, so why Takin didn't you wash your hands? Omalei, yes, I touched the bread, but I wasn't eating. So, if he eats, I have to wash my hands? That's what he asks his father when he's 2 years old. Amalei, so his father tells him, it's not bad enough that this Rebbe doesn't know how to learn. But he has to whack you across the face as well. In other words, you're absolutely right. This Rebbe doesn't know what he's doing. That's basically what he's telling him. He takes his son there. He says, no, the Rebbe's wrong. Michael is dying. Michael and Zavadadadadad. If you're eating and you're feeding, obviously you have to wash your hands. If you're just feeding, you don't have to wash your hands. And that's halacha. And Shmuel is right on target. And he's right. And his father said, you listen to me. Don't listen to this. You're 100% right. Your Rebbe is wrong. And that's the chinuch that Shmuel got from his father. Why are you laughing?
Not like that, he didn't get it.
What was that?
I don't.
You don't think what?
Yeah, that's wrong. I don't know. He can't go against his Rebbe, he just has to.
But he did! He said, not only he told you wrong, he hit you also. That's exactly what he told him. Okay. Yeah, I know you would like it. Okay. And then Igmar 2a, then Igmar C, you see, like, again, probably Shmuel was young at that time. But look the way his father talks to him. Bo'omene Avur Shmuel B'Shmuel. Now, Shmuel's father, you see, he's the senior, very important, prestigious, big gadol in Bavel. Shmuel's father asks Shmuel, as presumably he was a child as well, he b'fnim v'ragleho b'chutz. They're talking about karbonis. So the animal is inside, and the feet of the animal are outside the azarim. Right? Mahu. Could you shech the animal or not in the base of Migdash? So Shmuel tells him, Amlei says, Ksiv, Ve'vium Lashem, Achete Kulu Lifnim. An entire thing, entire animal has to be inside. So he tells him, excellent, wonderful, good on that one. Tal of Ashachad Ma'u. He says, if you hang the animal, and then you shech it. You hang the animal from a string from top, and the animal's neck is down. Could you shech the animal while it's hanging in the air in the base of Megiddo? It's within the Azara confines or not? So Shmuel says, as a young boy, Ksheira. So his father says, no, Ishtavashta, you messed up. Being a shchit aliyach veleka. That it has to be shachat asoy aliyach tzafayno. So therefore it has to be on the ground. And it doesn't have that, and therefore it's no good. Then he asks him, Nislev shachat. If the shechit is hanging in midair and he shechts, what's halacha? So Amalei, so Shmuel, as a young child, says, Psula. So Amalei, his father tells him, Ishtabashta, messed up again. Shchit al yerech, v'lei shechit al yerech. If you shecht it, the animal has to be on the ground, but not the shechit. Nisle v'kibel. He said, how about if you're hanging in the air and you mekabel the dam? Ma'u what's halacha? Amalei, ksheira. Good. Amalei, Ishtabashta. No, that is wrong again. Ain't they have sheiros b'kach. That's not considered sheiros. That's not considered royalty, kingly, no good. Tala v'kibel ma'u. If the animal is hanging and you accept the dam while it's not on the floor, the animal is hanging in the air and you accept the dam in a bucket. Amalei psula. So he tells him, okay, no good. Amalei shtamashta. Messed up again. Shchita yech v'leka bal yech. So you see the father, I know he's training the child. Avuda Shmuel. But you see, obviously Shmuel is learning from his father. It sounds to me that it's not Shmuel when he was a Gal Adar and his father was the senior Rosh Hashiva. It's probably he's much younger and his father is prodding him, almost to think on your own. Like this, no, maybe like this, no, this opposite, no, like this. But you see that this obviously Shmuel is learning from his father. He's setting him and he's teaching him the Torah. Now, one more thing which I see from number 2b is that Shmuel, I think, grew up in a wealthy home. Avuda Shmuel wasn't just the Gal Adar, he was also a VIP, he was also a prestigious and wealthy person. The Gemara says in number 2b, in Yushami, Shmuel Orek Min Avui. Shmuel went away from his father, I guess he went out of the house. Also, the Kamle Bein Trein Trifin. So he sits between two huts, the Miskanin. Two barren huts, two simple huts. He goes out into the poor neighborhood. So Shama Kalun, he hears voices, Amrin, and he hears the voices are saying, the poor people are saying, Kahadin Agantin Anan Achlin Yumadin Baganturin Dahava Baganturin Kasbo. How should we eat the food today? Should we use our golden cutlery or our silver cutlery? That's what he hears between these trifim, between these two huts. So Shmuel goes out of the confines of his home. He goes to the poor neighborhoods and he hears the paupers, maybe he's getting stuck into, should we use the golden cutlery today to eat or the silver cutlery? So he comes back to his father and he says, What's going on over here? Daddy, people give them tzedakah. Look at that. It doesn't go like that. Amalei, so Shmuel's father tells him, Tzrichim anu lachzik toive l'ramayim shebehem. Good thing we have to thank that there are phonies out there. People collecting money and they're phonies. We have to thank them for being phonies. Why is that itzi? Never heard of that expression? Because halacha is that lo sa'amitz es yotcha, when somebody comes to collect tzedakah and you don't give him, you're oivin avera. You have to give everybody collecting tzedakah. You're hardening your heart. It's a lav and a turn. Lo sikmitz es yotcha, lo sa'amitz es lumavcha. You can't do that. So the Gemara says, but you don't get avera. Why? Because since there are enough phonies out there and enough fakers out there, so then you can say, oh, I thought he was not real. And he was sincere, I would for sure give him. This person, I thought he's a phony. So that's what Shmuel's father tells Shmuel. You're right, there are phonies out there. Baruch Hashem, we have to thank these phonies out there, because otherwise we're chayv and avera every time we don't give tzedakah. So what I see from over there, next case, Abba Barba. Who's Abba Barba? That's Shmuel's father. Abba, son of Ba, Yor L'Shmuel Brein. He gives Shmuel his son. So his name, Abu Shmuel, really his name was Abba. So Abba gives Shmuel his son, Pritin, money, the Palik, the Miskenayu. He should be able to disperse it to the Miskenim, to the paupers. Nafak, he went. Vashkach, he went out. Vashkach, he found. Chad Misken, poor guy. Ochal Kupit, Mishotzi Chamer. He was eating steaks and drinking wine. So, oh, Vama Kamavuis, he went to tell his father. So the father said, Have yatil, the nafshe madase. Now, this obviously he's used to that. So let's give him some more tzedakah. So clearly, what I see from over here is that Shmuel's father was quite a wealthy person, and he wasn't just the galador in Narda, and he was avud Shmuel, he was avez, he was the head, but he was also a VIP. Came from a wealthy family, and Shmuel grew up in a wealthy home. That's what it sounds like, right? It was prestige, I suppose. Right, and that was, you know, the Nardo rested on, at that time, Nardo was primarily Avud Shmuel. He was really the Aved, the Rav, the one in charge from a spiritual perspective in Nardo. Okay, so Shmuel, Gemara says Shmuel was very, very well read, besides being, you know, almost like a Tana, big Amora, first generation Amora, but he was also a big astronomer, and a big doctor as well. The Gemara says, number three, Al HaZikin. The Gemara talks about various, you make a bracha on the Zikin. What a Zikin? The Gemara says, what's my Zikin? Oma Shmuel. Shmuel says, Koychava de Shavit. What's Koychava de Shavit? I think it's a meteor, a flying star. Koychava de Shavit, you see meteor, you make a bracha. Oh yeah, I would have known, I would have made a bracha. I went to Mitzpe Rimon, and I was in the desert overnight in a camping trip. This past summer, and I took my whole family. We went tents in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a crater, in the middle of the south, in the Negev. I think Menachem Kagan's cousin was there also, part of the group. And we went to sleep around 2 o'clock, and we woke up at 2:30, and we watched meteors flying through the sky twice a year, August 12th and August 13th. That's the best time to see the meteors flying through the sky. I would have realized, I made a bracha. I would have only known. I should have told my kids, when's the next time I'm going to see that? They weren't Kedushas, they were meteors. Alazikin. Well, it was all the same anyway, it looked nice. Alazikin, my Zikin, Amma Shmuel, Kaychva de Shavit, Vama Shmuel. And Shmuel says, let's look at this again, number three. Nihirin Lishvili de Shmaya. The roads in the heavens, which means the entire solar system, all the celestial, you know, all the paths in heavens, are clear to me. Nihirin are clear and lit up to me. They're enlightening to me, Kishvili de Nardo, just at the back roads of Nardo. Shmuel grew up his entire life in Nardo. He grew up in Nardo. He knew Nardo inside out. She says, the roads of the heavens, I know as well, like the back of my hand, like Shvili de Nardo, Levar, Mikoichmo de Lashavit, the Lavi de Namayinu. But this, I don't know what this exactly is. The Zikin, the Kirch of the Shavit, the meteors, that I don't fully quite understand. So obviously, he was an astronomer. Not that, but the Medrash says in number 3a, what does it mean? Torah is not in heavens. Shmuel Oma, Eina Torah Mitzuyin Beistra Login, Shem Nasim Bashamayim. Torah is not to be found in the astrologists that they can foretell heavens and things like that. Astrology, zodiac, that's not what Torah is all about. Amul Shmuel said, it turned to Shmuel and said, what do you mean? Hariatas Trologon. You are an astrologist. That's what you are. You are the, you know, the most known astrologist of this generation. The Gadol B'Torah. And yet you are Gadol B'Torah. So obviously it goes together. Amulans, he tells him, Lo Yisi Mabit Bistrologim, though I'm a known astrologist, I never looked into astrology. Ela B'Shoah Shayisi Pundli Min HaTorah. Only when I was not learning. Amosai, Shayisi Nichnas Lebeis HaMayim. In the bathroom. You ever heard the concept? They say, oh yeah, when did he learn this? You know, the Vega, when he knows, when he was in the bathroom, right? That's when he did. Same thing. Mar says it. Shmuel already said it. 1800 years earlier, that's when he studied astrology, the base of mind, when he was in the bathroom. So besides being, Shmuel being the, you know, literally the Gadol, and we're going to soon see, the Amora, the founding Amora of Bavel, he's also this great astrologist. He's also a big doctor, number four. Dama Shmuel, Kol Mili Yedana Sutayu. I know the cure to everything. Everything I know, the medicine, I know the cure. Levaba Hadiklas, beside three things. Mandoch Lahina Meriro, Alei Berekona. You eat a sour date on an empty stomach, so you get some type of condition. I don't know what exactly that is, but Shmuel did not know how to cure that. Mandoch Misna, the Kisna Retiva, Achalse. You tighten yourself with a wet, belt around your, I guess, your stomach, you know exactly what that condition that caused. And if you eat bread and you don't walk it off or something, also cause something. Four, three things that Shmuel did not know the cure to. But everything else, Shmuel knew the cure to. Not only that, but Shmuel, the Gemara says, we know that at some point he left Bavel, he left his father's yeshiva, he left Abu and Shmuel, and he went to learn where? Went to learn by Rebbe. Went to learn at Tzitzom, by Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Became very close to Rebbe, and he became his personal, besides being his Talmud of Rebbe, but he also became his personal doctor. Yomar says, number 4a, Shmuel Yarchino. By the way, why is he called Shmuel Yarchino?
Yareya? Astrology?
Mm-hmm. That's reason why. Shmuel Yarchino. Shmuel the astrologist, Shmuel Yarchino. Asye de Rebbe Haver. What does that mean? He was Rebbe's doctor. The Gemara says in Mamad Zia, Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor. Cholosh Rebbe Beine, one time Rebbe had pain in his eyes. Amleis, he tells him, Imolach Loch Samo, let me give you a cure, I have the perfect medicinal herb that's going to put inside your eye. Amlei Leichem, he said, I can't do that. Ashto Loch Mishtal, she said, let me smear it on top of your eye. Amlei Leichem, can't do that either. So having Moshe, maybe he can open up his eye. He couldn't do it, Rebbe couldn't do it. So having moistened the goof to the samne, to say be sadye, v'itzen. So he put some powerful drug underneath his pillow in some reed, and it, by osmosis, it went through his skull, through the pillow, through his skull, and cured his eye. That's how Shmuel was able to cure the eye pain of Rebbe. So he says at the end, when Shmuel left Rebbe's place, right, when learning by Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, So Rebbe was so not well, he wanted to give him smicha, but he couldn't get around to doing it. He was sick, he was old, he couldn't do it. He couldn't give him smicha, the rabbanim were not around. He tried giving him smicha, but he didn't get around. Rebbe tried to give him smicha, but it didn't quite work out. It's interesting, you know, I'll tell you in a minute. Amalei tells him, so Shmuel tells Rebbe, you know, Rebbe, don't feel sad. I saw the book of Adam Rishon, because Baruch Hu shows Adam Rishon the book with all the generations. I saw that book, and whatever that means, it's written in a book, Shmuel Yachino Chakim. Shmuel, the astrologer, that's me, Chakim Yiskare. He will call a Chacham, but Rebbe lo Yiskaru. He will not be called a Rebbe, but also the Rebbe al Yadate. Rebbe will be cured by him, but he'll never be called a Rebbe. So therefore, you know, it's not meant to be that I should be smicha from you, and therefore don't feel bad that you're not giving me smicha, and that's it. He went back to Bavel with all the terror that he learned from Rebbe and Rabbeinu Kodesh, and clearly he was not just his doctor and astrologist, he was also his Talmud, and he comes back to Bavel to go back to learn in the Beis Medrash of Rav Shelo, and in the whole Bavel learning, with the Torah that he brings back from Rebbe. But it would seem to be, right, that it continues. In other words, It's the learning of Bavel. Bavel, they also got Rebbe's Mishnayos, but you know, Avud and Shmuel had some, didn't accept it, everything. You know, most of it accepted, but not everything. Look at number 5. Habonais Ketanais Yotzes B'chutin. The Mishnah says, written by Rebbe, the little girls go out B'chutin, Vafilu B'kismin Shebo's name. What does that mean? We're talking about go out with an heir, without an heir. Could a girl go out with a woman or a girl, could she go out with earrings on Shabbos? What's halacha? Is that carrying or not?
No.
What do you mean? Wait, look at me. Does your wife go out with earrings on Shabbos?
I would assume not. But I'm wondering.
In Brooklyn, where you're going in a month from now, is your wife going to wear earrings on Shabbos? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Women go out with earrings. Girls, they would make them holes when they're younger, but they put on earrings.
It's called a knot.
Wait. Chut is a string. So the little girls, they would make them holes. Not like today that you have, you know, the 3-month-old girls that they make them go right over the earrings when they're 3 months old. I never understood it, but that's what people do today. That's what you would dumb, whatever it is, right? But they don't do that. The little girl go over the earring, it's done, unheard of. So they made them holes, because maybe easier, there shouldn't be pain, whatever. But they would put strings there to keep the hole there, that it wouldn't close up. Or they put kismin are like toothpicks, little piece of wood there, so it shouldn't close up. Question is, could you go out with that on Shabbos? Clearly, that's not a tachshit, it's not a jewelry, it's not an adornment, so could you go out with that on Shabbos? So Rebbe learned in his Mishnah, Habonais Ketanois Yoytzes B'chutin, the little girls can go out with those strings in the air, Vafilu B'kismin, even with sticks, Shebos Neyem, in the airs. But Yerushalmi says, V'atanino, we learned in the Mishnah, Habonais Yoytzes B'chutin, girls go out with strings, Rebbe Bo, B'shem Rebbe Yehuda, Afilu Korchal Tzavor, okay, whatever that means, the strings around the neck, Abba Bar Bo, who's that? Shmuel's father, Mafkid Lishmuel Abrei, tells Shmuel his son, Leite Kabul Alechem Mesnisin, Elo Ava Loi Bekismu Sheva's name. You cannot accept this Mishnah as it's written. We don't do that. Yes, I know Rebbe wrote they can go out with Kismu Sheva's name, but we do, the rest of the Mishnah we accept. But this part, Ava Loi Bekismu Sheva's name. We don't accept this Mishnah as it comes from Eretz Yisrael, from Rabbeinu HaKadosh. By us, we're makbid, they should not go with the strings in the air. And you see that Avud and Shmuel, even though the Mishnah comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and Shmuel learned by Rebbe, but Avud and Shmuel says, yeah, but over here in Bavel, we don't follow this, or I don't follow this, that I'm makbid that. The Gemara actually says the reason why he did it is because the daughters of Shmuel were different, whatever pshat is, but at least the way Yerushalmi says, you know, like the Kabbal Alecha Masnisin, Ella Avalai B'kismu Shabbos name seems to be that, yes, that's the Mishnah, but, you know, over here, Abu Shmuel says, that's not the way we learn the Mishnah. We leave out this part, or we don't agree with this part, or we don't do it for ourselves, this part. So yes, Shmuel comes back from Eretz Yisrael, but he goes, there's a whole yeshiva system in Bavel as well. They accept, of course, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, his Mishnah is accepted all over, but like we saw last time also, it wasn't completely, even after Rebbe's death, there were some that held different pshatim in the Mishnah, and presumably, you know, in Bavel also, there were some that did not follow every part of the Mishnah, they had different pshatim, different gears, different things, which is not a chiddush, but clearly Avu Shmuel, and Shmuel followed that as long as well. So that's how Shmuel goes. So basically, you know, we find Shmuel going to learn by Rebbe, and he becomes his doctor, and he's obviously close to Rebbe, and he comes back with the entire Torah, which, by the way, people going back and forth the whole time. So they had the entire Torah of Rebbe in Bavel anyway, but clearly he learned by Rebbe, and he goes back into the system in Bavel, right? That's where Shmuel goes, back to Nardah, right? That's one way, one thing that we see. Now, enter Rav. Rav, we see something completely different, or somewhat different. Rav goes to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara speaks about the fact that Rav becomes, you know, mamash, a Talmud Muvik of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he's part of his Beis Din, and he comes back, and everything is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, meaning he comes back to Bavel with the entire Messiah of Rebbe and of the Nesiim and Rabbeinu HaKadosh, And that's where he comes to Bavel.
That's why they say Rav Tal Apolik, but they don't say about Shmuel.
But they don't say about Shmuel Tal Apolik. Even though Shmuel also learns.
Even though
Rav argues with Shmuel, by the way, and we're passing about Shmuel half the time, correct? So Rav Tal Apolik, Rav can argue in the Tana, and Shmuel, we're passing like Shmuel above Rav, right? Vilchen Shmuel Bedine, Rav Yisurim and Shmuel Bedine, so we're passing like Shmuel half the time, so clearly you can also argue in the Tana. But we don't find the same weight that's given to Shmuel as we find by Rav. Yeah, Rav was older than Shmuel, clearly, but even the smicha that Igmar says at the end, Rav gets smicha from Rabbi, Shmuel did not. Yeah, Shmuel, lo yistai milsa, it didn't work out, he wanted to give him, but he didn't get the smicha from Rabbi at the end, and Rav did get the smicha from Rabbi. Rav, the Igmar is going to say that Rav, one of the Amoraim says that I remember when Rav was learning with Rebbe, it was like the two of them, it was fire going from one to the other, just the two of them, Rav and Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So Rav comes back from Eretz Yisrael after Shmuel comes back. That seems to be clear that he comes back after Shmuel. According to Rav Shri Ragoin, he comes back in the year 219, right before Rebbe was Nifter. That's when Rav goes back to Bavel, but he comes back with the entire, I'm not saying Shmuel does not, Shmuel also does, but Shmuel goes back to Narda, into his yeshiva of his father, or together with Abu Shmuel, Karna and Abu Shmuel, and he'll go back together. While Rav, by the way, doesn't end up in the same town of Narda. Rav goes somewhere else to Sura. And that's how you have the two yeshivas, Sura and Narda. So maybe that's something to think about, come back with perhaps somewhat, maybe Rav comes back as a bigger Talmud of Rabbeinu Kaddish, as opposed to Shmuel. That maybe, again, I don't know, but we see clearly that Igmar says in a few places that Rav
didn't go because Shmuel was in Narda.
Well, what? We're going to soon see why he first did come to Narda, right. And then he didn't want to take away from Shmuel because this was Shmuel's town. Right. His father was a Rav, and Abu Shmuel dies, and this is Shmuel's town. So Rav says, I don't want to usurp you, I don't want to take you over, I'm going to go somewhere else.
It comes to place in the Gemara where they said in Rav's town, they did something in Shmuel's
correct,
town.
Correct. Like, and we'll see how Rav goes, and Rav goes to places which is really empty, devoid of everything, and he starts anything over, and maybe, Rav says, I'm coming with my whole Messiah from Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to build up over here, I don't care. I don't know, maybe a place that has nothing is, in a way, might even be better. I don't know. But you see clearly Rav goes, and he, he sees certain things, and what's going on over there, we'll discuss that when he gets back to Bavel. But just to give you a little the background about Rav, the Gemara says the next page, on number 6 and 6a, I was going to tell you a story, but okay, we'll leave it on the side. About what happened, maybe I should tell you the story. The Gemara says over here that Rav, that Shmuel was supposed to get smicha from Rebbe, v'lo yistaya milsim. It didn't end up, he didn't have the right people, it was not well, and then they end up not giving him smicha, right? So it reminds me of a story my grandfather learned by Rav Kook. He learned Rav Kook and Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap in Merkaz HaRav. In the 30s, he was an American boy. His father was a Shalmi, but he was, was himself was born in Yerushalayim. But when he was older, he went to learn in Merkaz HaRav by Yaakov Moshe Chalap and by Rav Kook. And Rav Kook always told him, after you finish learning and you get smicha and you get the bechinas and the feheras and everything, I'm going to sign in your smicha as well. So my grandfather took all the smichas and everything from Yaakov Moshe Chalap. And when he comes in to get the stamp of Rav Kook on the Merkaz HaRav stationery, Yeshivas HaMerkazis, it was called, the central yeshiva Merkaz HaRav. So there was a signature there from Yaakov Moshe Chalap, the Rosh Yeshiva, and it was a place there to have the stamp and the signature of Rav Kook. Rav Kook was dying. He was not well, he was dying. My grandfather comes into the house, and his son opens the door and he says, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to see my father. He said, but your father promised me. He said, nobody can see my father. He said, but he promised me. He said that I should come. And then, sorry, nobody can see my father. So my grandfather walked in the street and he was dejected. He waited, of course, to give him smicha, to put his signature on it, because from the yeshiva, and can get in. So he's walking in the street. He met Issa Zalman Meltzer, the Evan Ozel. My grandfather was close to him also, because he'd always come to speak to him and learn him, and he was close to him, and he told a story about that separate story. So Mrs. Zalman says, why are you so dejected? He said, because Rav Kook is supposed to sign the Rav, they called him, the Yaffa Rav, that's what they called him, supposed to sign, and they don't let me into his house. So Mrs. Zalman Meltzer from the Kanoim says, No big deal. I'll sign on the smicha instead of Rav Kook. I'll sign, I'll put my thing on your smicha, I'll give you smicha as well. And he knew him for all the years, he looked at him. So you had, my grandfather had a smicha, Yeshivat Merkazat Rav, signed by Yaakov Ashechalap, right? The stamp of Rav Kook, but not his signature. And the Bissus Alma Meltzer on the bottom of the yeshiva stationery. It's like having, you know, the Y.U. Smicha signed by Ron Kocher. That's basically what it means, right? Today's translation, that's what it means. So, I told it to my brother, myself told it to Makil Kotler, because remember, the Kotlers, Ron Kocher was the son-in-law of the Bissus Alma Meltzer. Right? So that's that lineage. So he told him the story, he said he couldn't believe it. He showed him the smicha. Said, wow, that's definitely a story. So you see, Yistayim and Yistayim, even that has a historical background. Try to go for smicha, he's supposed to. He's supposed to give it to me. Yistayim also. It didn't work out, and that's what happened with Shmuel, and he never ended up getting the smicha from Rabbeinu Kaddish. Okay, let's learn a little bit about Rav. Rav comes with a whole different package, seems to be. Very important concept. Is Rav was a nephew of who? Who was he nephew of? So the Gemara says, number 6, Rav bar achua de Rabbi Chiya u bar achtei. In other words, he was a nephew. His father was a brother with Rabbi Chiya, and his mother was a sister to Rabbi Chiya. Now, his father and mother were not brothers and sisters. Obviously, it was half brothers and half sisters. In other words, Rabbi Chiya had a half-brother over here, and a half-sister over here. And a half-brother married a half-sister, or the step-brother married a step-sister. And therefore, that was his sister from, I guess, from the same father, a different mother. And that was the same mother, a different father, whatever. It worked out that they married each other. But Rav's parents were both brothers and sisters of Rabbi Chiya. You're looking puzzled. You feel it, right? Makes sense. So Rav Barachud... Rav barachud Reb Chiya u barachtei. Kisolik lahasam, when he goes up there, where is up there? When he goes up to there. Kisolik lahasam, when Rav goes up there, where is up there? No. Solik means to go up. Nachtei means to go down. So it's there itself. Whenever it says solik means to go up, Baba was down in the valley and below, and so it's always. Hakol oil in there to throw. Always. Whenever Gemara says Salik, it means to go up. Kisalik lahasam. Hasam should have given it away as well. Where is the Talmud Bavli written?
Right.
Bavel. So when he went up there, meaning when he went up there to Sol, Rav was born in Bavel, right? He comes from Babylonian family. Reb Chiya was born in Bavel. Reb Chiya went there to Sol years earlier. Rav was much younger. He goes up there to Sol. Amalei. So Chiya asked him, Aibu Kayim? Is Aibu, my brother, your father, is he still alive? So Rav answers, Amalei, so Rav answers, Imo Kayemes? They're asking about the father. Why don't you ask me about my mother? So Amalei, she asks him, Imo Kayemes? Is my sister, your mother, alive? Amalei, so Rav answers him, why do you ask about my mother? Aibu Kayem? Why don't you ask about my father, Aibu, your brother? Amalei l'shemaye, so he told his servant, chalotzli min olay, take off my shoes, I have to sit shiva now. Shmuel and Chayko sit shiva for 1 hour, but that's halacha. He found out that both his father and his mother were not alive anymore, and that's his brother and sister. So clearly, I'm showing from over here, that Rashi says over here, by the way, Rashi explains it, Aibu was aviv shel Rav, Aibu was the father of Rav, achiv shel Reb Chiya haya min ha'av. That was Reb Chiya's half brother from his father. Kiravim ve'kam senedim. Aibu v'chano v'shilo. That's Rav Shilo. Who? That's somebody else. That's the same Rav Shilo, I suppose. Umalto v'priya kule b'nei de Rav Acha mikafri havo. They were all children of Rav Acha from Kafri. Kafri was the big city below Nahardo in Bavel. So they're all Babylonians. Rav Chiya was Rav's uncle. Ima, shall I say Ima shel Rav, Achoisis Reb Chiya Isa Minoem. That was Reb Chiya's mother's, the other side, half sister. So therefore, he was clearly a nephew of Reb Chiya. Now, why is that relevant? Because we're going to soon see, over here from all these Ma'ar Mekaymus, that Rav had a very close relationship to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, a very close relationship to Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya and Rebbe, like we explained last time, they worked hand in hand, right? Rebbe was there writing the Mishnah, and Abchiyah was there explaining the Mishnah. His Tosefta was there to explain the Mishnah. So the entire learning of Eretz Yisrael, of the Mishnah with the Tosefta, was Rebbe and Abchiyah together. The Gemara says, Rebbe and Abchiyah is Saif Mishnah. These were the two G'dayle Olam in Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who wrote the Mishnah, which was written, all the yeshivas used it. Abchiyah, which was the addendum to the Mishnah, the Tosefta, and he went around, the Gemara says, right, Abchiyah was even more than Rebbe, because he was able to teach all the children. But basically, Rav has it with both. On the one hand, he's extremely close to his uncle. He learns everything from his uncle. On the other hand, he's extremely close to the Galador, to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. What I'm showing is that all these things we find about Rav, we don't find the same about Shmuel. Not to say Shmuel wasn't great. Of course, Shmuel was just as great as Rav. We pass it like Shmuel half the time. But the same emphasis that Igmar places on the fact that Rav learned all this from Rabbeinu HaKadosh Abchiyah, we don't find that by Shmuel as much. Number 7. Tan Rabbanan, and the Mishnah says the brachas. Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Chot. Zuk Yishma Shabu Danos Yom Le Rav Le Abchiyah. So Rav tells Abchiyah, Lechazina Le Rebbe Im Kabbal Le Mach Shemaim. I miss Rebbe, I didn't see him be Kabbal to Mach Shemaim. Om Le Bar Pachati. That's, some say it means from the word Vahasorim Vahapachos. Right? Vesorim, you know it's a shell. Pachos are like what they call in Arabic the Pecha. Right? That's the ministers.
The Pasha.
The Pasha, the Pecha, Pachos. By Megillus Esuas, the Sorei Hamdinois, the Ha-Pachos, Hashem HaMelech HaChashverosh. Pachos are very important people. Rav obviously come from the Pachos of Yehuda, from the Yuchotim of Yehuda. B'shor Shema V'yel HaPonov, you missed it. When he puts his hand on his face, Mikabalov Malo Machashemayim. In other words, Abchiyah is showing Rav, the young Rav coming from Bavel, how you have to look at your Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He's showing him how Rabbeinu HaKadosh, what you have to, you know, see in him, how you have to view him. And when you see certain things with him, this is what it means. Just to show you about 7a, the connection between Rebbe and Rav. Ki Solik Isi Bahini. This is much later. But when Solik, when goes up, Isi Bahini, Isi the son of Hini, goes up to Eretz Yisrael. So Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan. We know Rabbi Yochanan is the first generation of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. So he finds Rabbi Yochanan, the Kamasne Lelebrei Rechelim. So he teaches his son Rechelim. That's why he teaches him the plural of Rachel. Right? It's a sheep. Sheep. Rechelim. Right? There's actually a yeshuv in Israel called Rechelim. That's where the tour of winery is in Rechelim. That's where we got our case of wine when we went to a tour of the Shomron. But Rechelim is a place in Israel, but it's the plural of Rachel is Rechelim. Amalei, so Isi Bahini, who goes, comes from Bavel and sees Rabbi Yochanan, this is 50 years later. He tells him, well, 30 years later, Asnayu Rechelus. Why don't you say the plural of Rachel should be Rechelot? Amaleis, he tells him, no, Kirsiv, Rechelim Masayim. Amaleis, he tells him, Lashayim, Torah Latma, Lashacham Latma. You're right, in the Torah it's written plural Rechelim, but the Chachamim you say Rechelos. Where I come from, that's the way we say it, Rechelos. So Yechon turns to him, he says, Man Reish Sidra B'Bogel. Who is your Rosh Hashiva in Bavel? Who is now the Reish Sidra, the Rosh Hashiva in Bavel? In other words, where are you coming from? Where are you getting this from? So he tells him, Amalei tells him, Abba Arika. Who's Abba Arika? Abba, the great, the tall Abba. Rav, by the way, his name wasn't Rav. His name really was Abba. His name was Abba, and they called him Abba Arika, which is the great, tall Abba, and they just called him Rav, like they called Rebbe, Rabbeinu Kosh. His name wasn't Rebbe. His name was Abiyuda, right? Abiyuda Nasi. They called him Rabbeinu. So the term Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael, one step lower they called Abba, they called him Rav. That's what they called him. It was the term of the universal Rebbe. Amalei, so he tells him, Abba Richas Karisle? You call him the tall Abba? How could you? You can't call him like that. That's like a derogatory name. No, the tall Abba. He must have been very tall. That's what I'm saying. He was talking very tall. That's what you call him. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the Kilno, I remember, Karave Yasivno, when I would sit, Achai Yudzayin Shurim, Achoyri Derav Kamed Rebbe, when Rebbe Rabbeinu HaKadosh, remember, this is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Teil Dula Bokam Echot, this was the Galador, the most everything, you know, it wasn't something like that in hundreds of years, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Gemara says. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I remember when I would sit the 17th row in those times, the more senior you are, the more chashiv you are, the closer you sat to the front. So Rabbi Yochanan, who is the leading gadol in Eretz Yisrael at this time, and Rav must be an old man already in Bavel, he says, I remember years ago, I would sit 17 rows behind Rav, and Rav sat right in front of Rebbe, the nafke zikuk in the nu, zikuk? Sparks of fire would come out, mipume de Rav, lepume de Rebbe, from Rav's mouth, straight to Rebbe's mouth. Mipume de Rebbe, lepume de Rav. I had no idea what they were saying. But obviously, there were some holy things going on over there. How dare you call him? You know, I asked who's Rashi. He said, oh yeah, Tol Abba. That's what you call him? You're talking about, you know, people who can't even fathom who they are. I remember years ago, when I, Rabbi Echelon, was sitting in the 17th row, and Rav was sitting right next to the Rebbe. All I'm saying is, we see about Rav, the close bond, the close connection, the way he was held in esteem and all by everybody, and the shaychus he had with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Number 7b, Amar Rav. So Rav says, I was part of the Bezdin of Rebbe, and when they would, you know, judge somebody, they would start with me. I was the youngest of his Bezdin, but I clearly belonged to his Bezdin.
Yeah,
he was young, much younger. But still, fire, Rebbe and him, back and forth to each other. Obviously, he was extremely close to Rebbe. Now, number 8 just basically says we did this last time, I'll just say it outside because it's getting late already. But basically, it discussed over there that when the Priya once had something with Rebbe, and he said that Huna is outside, you know, and Rebbe said, Huna, who? The Reish Galusa, and he got all nervous, and then he said, no, he's really dead, and then Rebbe didn't like the joke he played with him when it was a joke, he didn't like what he said, and the Priya said, oh, I'm probably in Cherem now. So he stayed away from Rebbe for 30 days. The Gemara says, those 30 days that he stayed away from Rebbe, he taught the entire Bavel Mesorah, the entire Bavel, the Gemara says, the entire Aleph Kol Klalei Deraisa Hilchasa De Bavloi, the entire, you know, rules of the Torah to Rav. That time he spent, when he wasn't with Rebbe, Reb Chiya, he was spent teaching the entire Torah that he knew over to his nephew Rav. So obviously Rav didn't just have a great kesher with Rabbeinu Kaddish, but also with Reb Chiya. And Reb Chiya and Rabbeinu Kaddish were hand in hand. They were the two G'dayi La'ilam in Eretz Yisrael, right? The editors of the Mishnah and the Tosefta. And Rav obviously came from both these things, and that's what he comes with. Now we're going to see next week why he has to leave Eretz Yisrael. Something happened, he had to leave Eretz Yisrael. He comes to Bavel, he comes to Nardo. What type of reception awaits him in Nardo? What happens to Rav? And why ultimately he chooses to go and settle not in Nardo, but in Sura. And that's the beginning of the two great academies, Sura and Nardo. So that's the background of Rav, where he came from, where he was going from Bavel. He went to Eretz Yisrael, spent by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, by Reb Chiya, and then he comes back. We'll see all this, we'll see next week. Okay.